Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Well, Chuck, I listened to Cal, and I listened to him on both Dan Patrick and Jim Rome. There wasn't a ton that was different about something. A lot of the stuff was similar to what he said. I did find something interesting, and he said this on both shows. He talked about the players being in college, certain players being in college for too long. I thought it was an interesting discussion. Take a listen.
5 years to play for, which is the way it was when you played back in the 40s.
Yeah.
I mean, you had 5 years to play for. If you got injured, you got an extra year. If you got redshirted, you got an extra year. What if you got hurt 3 different years? Buzzard luck, my man. I don't know what to tell you. This is amateur basketball. Right now, they just cleared the NCAA a player to play football for his ninth year. So I'm playing in a game last year where the guy making the shots is 26 years old. Should have been out of school 3 years, maybe four. So let's get back. We can do that now. They said, well, COVID and all. Stop. You're giving waivers to everybody. 5 years to play four solves 60, 70% of our problems.
You know what would have solved a problem?
And so they go on for a little bit longer, but I did find that interesting. Chuck, I know you've sent me an article or two of like a college football player being like 27 or 28 years old. And I get there's like the Brandon Whedon anomaly every once in a while where a kid goes play minor league ball, or Monte Harrison here at Arkansas is probably the example that hits close to home. But it seems like that was really what Cal was petitioning yesterday, if anything, on both those shows.
Well, he's right. I mean, he's certainly right. The tough part in that, though, now, Ty, is the guys are getting paid. And so when you kick them out of school, basically you're firing them. You know, they're getting NIL money. They're making more money now than they're going to make out in the real world. And I suspect that part of this is the fact that you're jerking the rug out from under some of these kids. And you know, you can't talk out of one side of your mouth and talk about opportunity without going above and beyond to give them that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So it's a double-edged sword. I agree with everything Cal said. I think it does solve the problem. But unfortunately, you know, amateur athletics is that's a gray term now. I mean, it is a gray term. So I'm not sure what the solution's going to be on that. I don't think we're going to go back to the days of strict adherence to five to play four. Yeah. I don't think we're going to go back to that. And I think that's one of the casualties of the COVID era that'll never go away.
And I don't think Cal's just speaking his own mind. I think that's how he feels, and he's convicted. But I think he's speaking for a lot of the colleagues, Chuck, he's spoken to. I think they know he's a mouthpiece that everybody listens to. So I don't think this is just solely his opinion by any stretch. I think it's, I don't know if I can go as far as say the majority, because that'd be hard for me to have a feel for, but I think he's speaking for a lot of the coaches when he says those words yesterday.
Oh, I'm sure that's true, but I wouldn't read too much into this. This was an exchange on a show, and I don't think that's going to – I don't think there's going to be, oh, Cal said this, we gotta change the rules.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I just think his words carry more volume or weight with
anybody else. Well, yes, but I agree they carry more volume or weight, but in this case, I don't think that volume or weight is going to change anything, respectfully.
You mentioned something specific there, the kids wanting to stay because they're getting paid, and I think about, like, if I had a choice to go back to senior year right now, I'd probably heavily consider it, because for a lot of these, hopefully for a lot of these young men and women, it won't be the best time of their lives, but what did Houston Nutt always used to say? It's the best 4 years of your life or whatever. So if you have a chance to stay one or two more years. I don't blame the kids, but I tend to agree with you. It's not going to change anytime.
See,
we see this in normal life every day. Kids stay in school 7-8 years all the time. They just don't play sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chuck, I disagree with you, and here's why. They're trying to figure out every nook and cranny they can to button up this $22 million shortfall they're facing with the revenue sharing. Well, one way to button some of that up is some of these players that hang around and want gradually more money every year and are physically older, more mm-hmm. mature. I mean, if you cut that off to some degree, I think long term, these schools are probably having to come up with a little less NIL and a little less revenue sharing, you know, long term, or at least maybe the same revenue sharing, but less NIL considerations.
Well, I hear what you're saying on that. All I'm saying is I don't think we're going back to the days of strict adherence to the five to play four. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure you're right about that. I'm sure you are.
Yeah, I think what I heard out of his phrase is they're giving everybody a waiver. I think he's just asking them to tighten it up a little bit. Let's mm-hmm. just follow the rule on the books.
Well, speaking of Cal, Chuck, I don't know if you've seen this recent report. We're going to have the guy on that broke. He's actually broken a couple things for Arkansas athletics and basketball schedules. Rocco Miller. Sounds like, or it looks like, according to his report, that Arkansas is going to play Illinois on the 28th, this upcoming Thanksgiving. That has not been solidified yet by either school. There's no location to be determined. That's another marquee non-conference game. It sounds like potentially it could be on your schedule this upcoming season.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but I'm sure he wouldn't have thrown it out there if he didn't have a pretty good feel that it might happen. But it sounds like they're going to play Illinois. Where and exactly when, we don't know. But, you know, this is, it's exciting for people because they're hearing marquee names, mm-hmm. you know, as far as opponents. And when you hear we're going to play so-and-so out of the Big Ten on Thanksgiving Day, well, you know that's going to be a TV game. I mean, you know it's going to be something that is out there for you to watch. But we're just going to have to wait and see how it all shakes out. But it sounds like they're going to play Illinois.
Yeah. So the real question is, where does Chuck Barrett want to go before he goes to Miami and New York in the early December? So, you know, if you could pick the venue, where would you want this game to be played?
Close by.
That's what Tommy made a good point, and I didn't think about this. Like, if you put that game in St. Louis or Chicago or Kansas City, I mean, that's not too far of a trek. I know you guys would be flying, Chuck, but for the Razorback fans that maybe wanted to have a Thanksgiving weekend, that would be doable in kind of that sector. Yeah.
Well, I think the one thing we have to keep in mind is this is not one side or the other's call. This is TV's call.
That's a good point, yeah.
These are TV games. Mm-hmm. These are not, hey, let's schedule Illinois. I know a guy up there. Hey, while we're at it, let's just play on Thanksgiving in Kansas City. Be nice. And look, that may be the way television works it out, and I hope it is. But I think we sometimes get we're kind of caught up in this Dallas thing. Well, that's going to be our game, and maybe we'll, and it might be. I have no idea. All this is just speculation based on one guy's report. But I do think it's important to keep in mind that a lot of these games, neither school's making the final call. Television's making the final call.
I've suggested Chicago would be a great spot for this. I know Illinois is close by, and Cal wants to recruit nationally. But I just think about places you'd like to have a bigger brand and where players come from. And, you know, Chicago, I think, would be a good place that maybe – you know, maybe you go play a game like this in.
Think about Patrick Beverly, one of the more notable Chicago guys that you've gotten kind of out of that area. I know you've had more success in maybe like Memphis and Tulsa, but again, you have to re-identify where your success can be now based on Cal's recruiting footprint, which is nationally.
We sound like people who've come into money. Hey, where are we going to travel first?
Yeah. We're the Clampets.
I'd like to go to Chicago.
Yeah, we're the Clampets.
Let's just go out to L.A.
Yeah, well, sure.
But I'm with you, man. I'm ready to go. Although Chicago does sound a little bit cold on Thanksgiving Day. I'm not going to lie about that.
Probably not terrible that time. I mean, it's not January. I wouldn't want to go in January up there.
But, no, it would not be a situation where you found yourself in. But those are few
Chicago's pretty cold in December, guys.
Yeah. I was there in for this past
Thanksgiving,
December.
Thanksgiving, November, late November.
Yeah. Last basketball note before we move on. Chuck, I don't know if you've seen Ross Dellinger. I know you kind of pay attention to his stuff, but it sounds like that NCAA officials are meeting with conference commissioners about expanding the NCAA tournament. Tommy presented this when we were talking about it before the show, the idea that it is one of the main reasons is for money. I just, when I think about like the first edition of the college.
It's the only reason.
Yeah. And maybe that's the better way to frame it. But when I think about the college football playoff, I still think the best football team will win out more times than not. I just wonder, like, maybe for the first time ever, we'll see Tennessee win as the number one overall national seeds, I say ever since 1999. I just wonder what kind of cloudiness this might add to basketball and make it that much more difficult. And maybe the champion is not as not necessarily deserving, but not the true champion, just based on how that format is set up when you add additional teams. Just harder, I feel like, in basketball.
Well, I'm not sure the analogy to basketball and baseball. I mean, it's pretty much the same number of teams. They may decide to expand the tournament. I don't know exactly what the latest impetus is for this. I mean, the overall reason's money.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure what's you know, spark this. I don't know. I don't think it's broken, but I also understand the desire to play another weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll, if that's what they want to do, if the numbers are right, that's what they'll do.
Here was kind of my logic or where I was coming from. A couple things in play. The money is the only reason. They've got this revenue sharing. They need more revenue to share and keep things as close to status quo in college athletics as they can without making massive administrative cuts and other cuts throughout programs. Also, you've got, who's their TV partners now? TBS, TNT, True TV, CBS, who just lost a big NBA contract. That'd be TNT, who might have a little money to spend on some extra games right now.
That's a good point.
You know, so that those were some of my, you know, factors.
Well, they've already bought into football because that's a sore spot with some of the NBA people.
Yeah.
On TNT. So, yeah, there's this is all going to shake out, and I suspect they'll expand it a little bit. And look, we've never seen playoffs and postseasons contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't see that. So, this is not going to happen here either. The first time Arkansas went to the Final Four under Eddie Sutton, there were 32 teams. Can you imagine an NCAA tournament with 32 teams?
Or contracting back to that?
Yeah.
Or even the 48.
I mean, it's they figured out a way to make Tuesday night games in Dayton, Ohio, part of the NCAA tournament, even though most brackets don't require you to fill that out.
But it's grown the game by doing it. So,
has it?
Yeah, because I think more people are – well, are there more people interested in March Madness? Was that even a term when Eddie Sutton took a team?
No, I'm talking about the expanding from 64 to 68.
I'm just talking about as they've grown the tournament over 50 years.
Oh, no, I don't think it's been bad at all. Yeah. I don't understand the 64 to 68. As a general rule, certainly the tournament's better than it once was.
One of the biggest sporting events in the country. Hey, we're talking about all these events and football's coming up and all these fun things that are going to be on the schedule. Hey, if you're thinking right now about football games or even when the basketball schedule completely comes out and you want to make plans to stay in Northwest Arkansas, let me send you over to our friends at the Inn at the Mill. Jennifer answers the phone at the front desk weekdays during the day. So friendly. I mean, you can just hear that bubbly personality coming through the phone, and she takes care of you. Once you're in the system and she's got your details, when you call back up, she answers the phone. There's no phone tree. There's no press 1 for current reservations, press 2 for new. None of that. They don't have that at the Inn at the Mill. So you get the personal touch. They've got great oversized suites that you're going to like, great breakfast to start the day, and the location can't be beat. I mean, almost immediately off the exit, at exit 69 off I-49 in Johnson, close to everything going north in Benton County, close to the university and campus, just minutes away. It's all at the Inn at the Mill. InnAtTheMill.com or just call Jennifer, 479-443-1800. That's 443-1800 for the Inn at the Mill in Northwest Arkansas.
So we know the College World Series finals teams this weekend, the Texas A&M Aggies and the Tennessee Volunteers. It will get going on Saturday, and there's a possibility of a Game 3 on Monday night. We've already got some text in here on the McCarty-Daniel Hotline. Robert, for example, is a lifelong Florida Gators fan. And Texas A&M, who is he going to be rooting for this weekend. Russell in Huntsville says if anyone else was coaching Tennessee, he would pull for them. Robert from Nashville saying I'm pulling for the same team the whole series, and that is whoever is playing against the Tennessee Volunteers. I was kind of curious what our audience felt about this upcoming weekend, but it sounds like we've got a couple strong opinions both ways on the Vols and anime. What you've said makes sense about the recruiting aspects, but we've also gotten some brutal hatred about the Vols this morning.
I don't know who's going to win. I think Tennessee's the better team, but better teams don't always pull it out. But if I had to, if I'm picked and forced to lay a mortgage payment down, I would prefer Tennessee win this over A&M. But I think it's going to be an interesting series. And Chuck, once again, all SEC to determine the national title.
Yeah, SEC goes 5-0 against the ACC. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty much smoked them. I don't think there's any doubt. First off, you had 4-4 out of 300 and something teams. You were down to two conferences, and one went 5-0 against the other. So I think that's that's a pretty strong statement there. Tennessee, I picked them to win it, even though they were the number one seed. But I'll say this, A&M's pitching is really, really good. And if there's a team left who can shut down Tennessee's bats, they're about to play them. So I don't think this is a given. I would not be surprised to see this thing go three games. But I do think Tennessee's the overall better team. They've got Christian Moore. And that guy, in my mind, he's what separates them.
Ty brought up the point that it would pain Razorback fans, true baseball fans, if Tony Vitello won a national championship before Dave Van Horn won one himself. When you get a feel for the fan base, or when you're talking to people, is that something in your conversations that you're hearing?
Never comes up. I mean, honestly, never comes up in the conversations I have. I can't speak for everybody else.
You bring up the Tennessee aspect of hitting. I mean, they're just, even in Omaha, in that bigger park, they're doing things like this consistently.
From an injury, pitching in relief as Burke launches right center field and gone.
I think what surprised me about the Vols is we've talked about, like, it's one thing to hit those out in Lindsey Nelson, but they're hitting them out in Charles Schwab, which is a huge ballpark. And like you, and I heard Phil talking about A&M's pitching even prior to Arkansas playing the Aggies this season. He talked about how good they are, and it's been a key reason why they're there. It's like the unstoppable force versus the immovable object this weekend. And I just wonder if Tennessee can keep up with it, because to this point, no one's been able to stop them hitting the baseball, even in Charles Schwab Field.
You're right. And that is, as I said a minute ago, I think that's the matchup right there. And I do think A&M's got better pitching than anyone Tennessee's faced so far. So I do think that's the matchup. Now, all the teams have hit home runs up there. Now, I think yesterday, this was my take yesterday, and having been up there more than once, they'd had a big storm day the day before, had a storm come in the night before. It was cool yesterday. The wind was minimal. It was warm enough, it wasn't cool enough to deaden the ball, but there wasn't wind blowing in out of the south like there usually is, and in that ballpark, that means it blows in from right field. Mm-hmm. So I think the weather conditions, based on what I've seen so far, have had something to do with it. I'm not saying it's the tipping point as to why there have been so many home runs, but they're not hitting the ball into that jet stream in right field the way you do sometimes at that place.
Yeah. And what does that do, in your opinion, for the pitcher's mindset? I think mentally that's got to change your, kind of your approach when, you don't have the wind, you got that deep cavern out there versus when the wind's, against you as a pitcher.
Well, but there's no evidence so far to indicate that's what's happened. I mean, there's not been those games where, center field's basically been your safe spot out there. But there have been teams that have hit the ball down the lines out of the ballparks all across the World Series if you watch it this year. I just think that it's going to be a great matchup. It's going to be a great matchup, and there are lots of things you can do to, if you really want to get inside the game. But A&M's got a chance. Mm-hmm. A&M's got a real chance.
You mentioned the all-SEC matchup again, mm-hmm. which we've seen before, which I know Greg Sankey loves to see. The SEC streak will continue like it has, and maybe the West streak for the final time with the Western Division ending once Texas and Oklahoma join the league will continue as well. A couple more texts. Zach and Paragol said he's pulling for the Vols just because he can't stomach the idea of the Colt in College Station winning it. Sandy and Muldrow also feels the same way. He will not pull for A&M under any circumstances. And Chuck, I can't remember if we got a chance to talk with you about this or not. I know we do, Clay, but the two fans that were yelling at the Florida dugout.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Okay, we did. Yeah. And I just want, like, that's not Schlossnagel and that team's fault. But I wonder if that, like, for just the casual college baseball fans, if more people are...
I thought this was a good point from Clay that, you know, the locals have chosen sides, and it will be anything other than A&M based on that. So I don't know how much of an edge that creates for Tennessee, but I thought Clay made a good point yesterday that, you know, the locals always pick a team. Well, they're not going to pick A&M, Chuck.
No, but I don't know how many locals are going to get in. Tennessee and Texas A&M have people up there. I think Tennessee and Texas A&M are going to dominate I think their fans are going to dominate the crowd. That was a terrible thing that happened, but it doesn't have anything to do with anybody other than those two people.
Yeah, and let's not pretend like for a minute that we couldn't have two drunken idiots in our fan base do something equally despicable at some point and make Arkansas's program Hopefully look bad. So I mean, it could happen to anyone. I mean, they're Aggies and they're easy to pick on, but let's not act like we're immune from such idiocy.
Let's just hope it doesn't get to that point. Now,
yeah, I agree with you.
Single A and Danville is rooting for food poisoning. That's his that's his team.
Michael Jordan's pizza.
Yeah. Daniel McClarty is rooting for COVID this weekend.
No one should ever root for that again.
Couple texts in. Again, it gets going on Friday, Saturday, 6:30 on ESPN, 1 o'clock Sunday on ABC, and then if necessary, they will play at 6 o'clock. That is the setup for the College World Series finals this weekend between the Aggies and the Volunteers.
It's been a long – Chuck, maybe you can rephrase – when's the last time it was on a net – I mean, beyond ESPN, because he mentions ABC there.
I don't think it ever has been.
I think back in the day, way back in the 80s, I think it was on CBS at times. But
it was on CBS. It was on CBS, in fact, all the way through the 90s.
Okay.
But the whole tournament wasn't.
Yeah.
It was just and it was one championship game.
Right. So, I mean, this, this will be good for those programs and for college baseball to – I don't know how much difference there is between ABC and ESPN, but there is some difference. That's why they're putting it there.
Call or text the McClarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McClarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McClarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McClarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McClarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
Morning Rush Daily Question brought to you by Red River Dodge. It's pretty simple, guys. Who are you rooting for? Who do you want to win the College World Series? Chuck, do you want Tennessee or do you want A&M to carry the crown?
I'm not rooting for either one of them. I'm not rooting for either one of them, but I think Tennessee's going to win.
I think Tennessee's going to win, but I'd rather have A&M win. I want to see the SEC West streak continue. I don't want Tony to win one before Dave does, but I ultimately think the Vols are going to pull it off, and the streak is going to be broken for the first time since 1999 Bruce Stanton is going to
which I declared like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
You did.
Just for the record. Don't act like it's your prediction. Unless, of course, A&M wins. Then it's all on you.
I had Florida winning, and they got trounced 6-0 in their elimination game yesterday. So, no, but I'll give you credit. The thing about Tennessee, I think what's...
Well, they're not there yet. A&M's good.
Yeah. I think what's important to note about the Vols, and Tony kind of said it in his rant, is they haven't been like number one all season. Like when you think about, like they were number one heading into that, but this wasn't, they weren't like preseason number one. I don't remember where they were at, but that, what is it, heavy the heart that wears the crown or whatever
heavy
that phrase is.
The head that
yeah,
that
wears the crown. They haven't had to deal with that weight and pressure all season. Now they have the last couple weeks, last month of the season, but I think to a certain extent that might have helped them a little bit.
Well, he knew what he was doing there. He was trying to make the number one overall seed, the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what he was trying to do. And maybe he convinced his guys. I don't know. He didn't convince me, I can assure you that, because they've had the best team day-to-day for 2 or 3 months
so,
now.
I don't think it's coincidence that the number one seed is lost for basically a quarter century. And maybe that streak is broken. But why do you think it's been that way? It can't, to me, Chuck, it just can't be coincidence that this might be the first time that a one seed breaks through since 99.
Because it's the most wide open tournament in all of college sports. That would be my simple answer.
Okay.
It's the most wide open tournament in all of college sports. And I believe that. And I think that's got as much to do with it as anything. Now, do I think pressure comes to bear? Absolutely. Do I think that has something to do with it? Do I think some of the time they've seeded the tournament wrong and you've had non-baseball people coming up with the seeds? Yes, I do. I think that's got something to do with it. I think all the factors come into play there. But and Tennessee's not to the finish line yet.
No.
Very true.
I mean,
something
they're not to the finish line yet. Texas A&M's perfectly capable of beating them. I'd pick Tennessee, and I have. But if A&M gets a great pitching performance Saturday night and they win game one, I wouldn't bet against them.
Do you know how painful it is for me to cheer for a team in maroon white? Do you know that like it's going against every fiber of my being? Like, I don't have this hatred.
You're not forced.
I don't have this hatred for Tennessee like a lot of you do.
It's maroon and white, or it's orange.
Yeah,
you know, it's not a great choice.
It's awful either way. Like, if anything, of course, I was going for Florida State because they were the lone team. But like Chuck pointed out earlier, SEC went 5-0. I mean, you're just in a different class right now. And I know Michigan won the national championship in football. I know some people don't feel this way, but I was happy that Alabama went to a Final Four last year because your SEC basketball was lagging behind relative to the other sports in the major three. Is it going to catch up to football and baseball anytime soon? Probably not. But you are just in a different class right now as a conference. And baseball team has been a part of that class, just hadn't won it just yet. Your basketball team hopefully is getting back to that point. Had a good couple years under Muss. I don't know about the football team anytime soon, but it is, Greg Sankey's got to be ecstatic where the conference is right now competitively.
And again, as I've said before, I understand comparing the three sports, but they're entirely different. And there's a reason why baseball as a sport does as well as it does in the SEC. There's a reason why football does, and there's a reason why basketball's had some challenges here and there, but all three sports are really good, and we're lucky as fans to be able to watch big-time college sports, whether it be football, basketball, or baseball.
All right, that's your Morning Rush Daily Question. It's brought to you by Red River Dodge in Heber Springs. They are Arkansas's number one Ram dealer. Log on at redriverdodge.com.
Now, let's talk to Tom Murphy on the Morning Rush.
So, Tom, we've got it set this weekend. College World Series with the Aggies and the Vols. Which way are you going? Tony Vitello or Jim Schlossnagel? Who takes it this weekend?
Good morning, y'all. You know, I think we talked about this on Tuesday. These were my picks, and I know they were the favorites, but I just felt like both of them had the mojo going into the postseason. Certainly the pitching depth and a ton of hitting. And Tennessee's gotten all their named guys producing in this series, and so they're going to be hard to stop, but A&M, you know, both teams seem to have that it factor, and they both can't win it. I don't know. Maybe I'll go with A&M. I like Tony and I like Schlossnagel, both of them. But if you pin me down, I just think Tennessee has more overall, overall depth to their hitting. And so it looked like LaViolette was playing yesterday, but I think that's right. But you worry about his hamstring that he tweaked the other day. So I don't know. I think maybe overall the edge might go to Tennessee here.
I saw him basically limping to home plate from third. That didn't look definitely in some discomfort heading into this weekend. Now, that's, again, the big college baseball story, which will conclude either Sunday or Monday night. MLB-wise, it's Paul Skenes, who had another outstanding performance. I know there are some that want him to be on the All-Star team. Hasn't played for the first quarter, I guess, of the season because he was in the minors. Tom, he's quickly adapted. Are you surprised how just like fast the majors have come to him? And is this something you expect to continue, or you think teams will start to figure him out his rookie year?
Right, slightly surprised, but the 100-mile-an-hour fastball plays. I mean, it's just hard for major leaguers to catch up to it. I don't know how much movement, he gets out of it, because that's the key, if you can get some kind of late tail to it or whatever. But I read a passionate column the other day from a Pittsburgh columnist. I cannot remember who it was, but it was basically like the Major League Baseball would be making a mistake if Skenes was not at the All-Star game. And I tend to agree with that. They have another good pitcher who I think was on the roster last year. Are they a team that only gets one? I don't know. But I think baseball would doing itself a disservice if Skenes wasn't on there, because people just want to come and see somebody like him who's kind of a sensation. And the columnist pointed out that, you remember Mark DeBird Fidrich, you won't tie, but in 77, 78, he was a sensation. The way he walked about on the mound and talked to himself, and they got him on the All-Star team. And I know there's a comparison to some other guys who got called up early in the season but didn't put together enough, stats or whatever to make the team. But I just think in today's day and age, they would be right by putting Skenes on an All-Star roster.
Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty-Daniel Hotline. You know, sometime this weekend or Monday, college baseball's national champion will be crowned and kind of mark the end of the college year. It's the quietest time in college athletics. I know the camps have wrapped up for the football coaching staff. Tom, until we get to SEC Media Days, this really grows into the quietest time of the year in Fayetteville and in college athletics as a whole.
Yes, indeed it does. And the ADG has our annual right of talking to the freshmen who are coming in, and actually was in there yesterday talking to several of the guys. Kyle Parkinson was good enough to set that up. And so our stories on the young players will be coming out soon. And I will say this for Sam Pittman and his staff. They talk about how they recruit guys with character and guys that fit and all that. And I will say that the guys I talked to yesterday all seem to be, just earnest young men who came here for the right reasons, and you just hope that they're good football players. I talked to Bradley Shaw, the linebacker from Hoover, Alabama, who was not here in spring. And then Juju Pope, and I talked to C.J. Brown, Bentonville, driven kid, and then Selman Bridges, the cornerback. And they all just have engaging personalities, and I think that's kind of how Arkansas recruits. And hopefully the team bonding goes well, because they're up against it this year. I mean, they're not going to be picked to do much of anything, and they have to bond quickly and find a way to produce better offensively. And, we'll see where that leads. But I'll say this, they recruit good young men, and it was nice to talk to them yesterday.
And we're about a month from SEC Media Day. It's going to be in Dallas this year. I just wonder, because sometimes you get a little more of a, of a local angle or edge from the questioning at times. We saw that in the state of Alabama a lot. Bobby Petrino coming from A&M to Fayetteville. I would imagine Coach Pittman will be prepared for several questions about Bobby Petrino being on his staff from some of the Texas-based media.
No question about it. And even some of the Arkansas-based media might have follow-up stuff about how it went in the spring and so on. But you know what? I have full faith that Sam Pittman will handle it so much more, so much better than Jimbo did last year. You could kind of tell there was this, not intimidated, but, you know, you could tell Jimbo, you know, Bobby Petrino is a forceful personality. And Sam Pittman is not, you know, he wants Petrino to do his thing. And I think with Jimbo, a little bit of professional jealousy that he was the offensive guru for all these years, and now he's got this guy, and how's it going to mesh? And he just didn't handle the questions very well.
Talking with Tom Murphy, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and Whole Hog Sports here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Tom, one of Sam Pittman's former players, Jake Bates, I never say got called up, but signed with the Detroit Lions. This is a kid that didn't really kick that much at Texas State and at Arkansas because Cam was handling those duties. How crazy is it to just kind of watch his career get to where it is, where it sounds like he's going to be the Lions kicker this upcoming season?
Yeah, I love it. And I kind of became a Lions fan last year. Wanted to see them win the NFC Championship and go into the Super Bowl because they're just such a, you know, if you think of NFL franchises that haven't done much, they come to mind very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Them, the Falcons, there's a few others, Browns. But it was so cool that he had the 60-plus yarders in the UFL this year and got such attention put on him. And you know, the question, well, why didn't you kick in college? Well, yeah, Cam Little was ahead of him. And when he signed, I noticed that Cam Little posted a very congratulatory post on Twitter. So it was great to see. And I actually was going through and filling out some old pictures and videos on my phone, and I had one of the onside kick that they successfully recovered at home.
Bama, yep.
And Bates was the one who did it. But Pooh Paul and Jordan Crook absolutely obliterated two Alabama DBs or linebackers just about at the point of the onside kick recovery. It was so beautifully executed. And to see them pull that off against Bama and two guys just getting wiped out, for Bates to easily make the recovery was pretty cool to see.
And I know it's got to be cool for three Razorbacks now. I know Skipper and Rag now played with each other, but now Jake, you got three hogs up in Detroit. That's kind of significant to have that on one NFL roster. It's pretty cool. Tom, before we let you go, Willie Mays dies at 93 years old. I know you follow the Atlanta Braves pretty closely, but you also pay attention to MLB stuff and big storylines. One of the biggest icons in the sport. You might not have got to watch a lot of them, to be honest, based on kind of when you were born, but your thoughts on the passing of one of the greatest baseball players of all time.
Yeah, well, that's you said it. He is one of the greatest. Obviously, you know, I was more of a Hank Aaron guy, but Willie Mays was such an ambassador for the game, and you saw all the tributes in the last few days from major leaguers like Ken Griffey and all, talking about what he meant to them, how he mentored them. He was going to show up at this game that's going to be at Rickwood Field in Birmingham. And we drove by just the other day, you know, for when we went down for the SEC baseball tournament. Rickwood Field's looking nice, and unfortunately, he wasn't, you know, going to be able to go. They might have actually already had the game, but it's a shame that, you know, he wasn't able to do that as one final, you know, final deal before he passed. Obviously, Willie Mays was so great for the game, and the catch he made in the 1954 World Series, one of the most iconic plays in all of Major League history.
Tom, we'll leave it there, man. Appreciate the stuff. We'll do it again on Tuesday.
You betcha. See ya.
All right, Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Six locations, Springdale and in Bentonville. A good deal is never too far away. They're always online at McLartyDaniel.com. Chuck, we had a chance to ask you about Willie Mays. You know, I don't know how much of his prime you were able to see at your age, but you know, I think everyone you talk to, you know, easily considers him the best center fielder ever in Major League Baseball.
You know, he was right at the end when I was a child. And by child, I mean like, you know, seven, eight, nine years old. I remember his final years with the Giants. I remember when they traded him to the Mets, and he was just a shell of himself when they played the A's in the World Series. I remember that. But he was, you know, most of his great play came in the 50s and 60s. And you've obviously got to be of a certain age to have, you know, firsthand knowledge. I remember him very well, but he was at the tail end of his career at that point. But a great ambassador for the game. And, you know, it's interesting now. I see a lot of these old pictures. You see them with, you know, Mickey Mantle, and you see Mays next to DiMaggio or Duke Snyder or some of his peers, and all you got to do is look at the pictures to see who the best player was. I mean, Willie Mays is cut now. I mean, he was cut when guys weren't cut, and he was a great athlete. Keith Hernandez paid him probably the greatest tribute, and it's ball player to ball player, about how he grew up in the Bay Area and Willie Mays was his favorite player. And he talked about how every time you went and watched the Giants play, Willie Mays was going to do something that made you talk about him. It might be hitting a home run, might be stealing a base, which is kind of novel now, might be throwing a guy out who's tagging up at third, might be making a diving catch in the outfield. He was going to do something every game that nobody else on the field could do.
Kind of had that Michael Jordan approach that, and I heard him talk about it. It's like these fans came to the ballpark to watch me play, and I got to do. And he also mentioned he always wore a cap that was one size too small, so it would fly off when he was running the bases, which I never thought about or heard of. But
lots of guys that, do that. Hey, let me tell you something. A good outfielder has mastered the art of loping over, diving at the end, holding the ball up, and listening to the crowd go crazy.
Yeah.
I know lots of guys who've played the game and who've done that. They time it, and they know what they're doing. And Willie did, too. He was a showman. That was one of the things that I believe it was the Giants statement cited in their release on his passing was his showmanship. Showmanship's part of it, man. I mean, that's part of the deal. You got to know how to play to the crowd a little bit, and he did.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, there's been some great ones in center field. You mentioned DiMaggio, and I know Mantle played, I think it was right field until DiMaggio retired. But, I mean, you just think about that, and everyone easily considers Willie Mays the best amongst all of those. And all you have to say is Mantle and DiMaggio, you know exactly who you're talking about. And Willie Mays was best amongst all of them in center field.
You know, it's interesting, the iconic catch that's just known as the catch. You watch that play. I'm not diminishing the play at all. It was a great play. But guys make that once a week in the big leagues now. There have been better catches than that. It shows you how the game's evolved. I mean, 70 years later, I'm not saying that's a routine play, but hey, the kid at Clemson, I mean, he made that catch in a regional a couple of weeks ago. And but at the time, given the way the game was played, given who was playing it, May stood out above all the others.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our boy Ty's going to enter adulthood. He's buying him a home.
Buying a house. How's that going, Ty? You moved in yet?
2 weeks. I think it's
2 weeks.
When are you closing? When are you going to close?
Have you gotten the key yet?
Beginning of July.
All right.
So hadn't got the closing date yet.
When's the first party?
It's going to be a man's house. There's going to be one lazy boy in the living room and a TV.
You're having roommates. You're taking on roommates.
I am taking.
Solo.
Yeah, no. Roommates are key to get that.
Making that house payment?
Yeah, making that house payment.
I got you. Hey, Ty went through Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company. And, you know, whether it's your first time out or whether you've been doing this your whole life, the thing that you'll always find with Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company, is a partner, someone who can meet you where you are. If you're a first-time buyer, they're right there with you. If you've been doing this for 30 years and they've been your partner every step of the way, they're going to be right there with you. That's what you get with someone who's, number one, well-trained in what they do, someone who does it every single day. It's their full-time vocation. It's what they live for in many respects. That's what you need when you're spending the most money you've ever spent in your life. And that's what you'll always find with Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company. First time out, or maybe the last time you're going to do it, and everything in between. Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company. They've got offices in Northwest Arkansas. They're in Washington and Benton counties. They're in Fort Smith. They're up in Branson now, moving a lot of property up in Branson. You can always log on to WeickerGriffin.com.
So have y'all seen what's going on in Bill Belichick's personal life just yet? Chuck, have you read that story at all?
The girlfriend story?
Yeah. 24.
You're on your own here, Ty. Okay. Yeah. I'm not touching this one with a 10-foot pole.
I'm closer to this age. I'll touch it. Bill Belichick is dating a 24-year-old right now by the name of Jordan Hudson. The backstory on how
is he 72? That's the backstory.
Yes. He is. There's quite a difference in age between the two.
You think?
They. It's funny. They met on this flight from the Boston area to Florida. She was 21 at the time.
And she was just instantly attracted to the.
I gotta have me some of that.
She was
just instant.
She was
love at first sight.
Apparently, she was in college, and one of the things they were talking about was her logic course, and she had a textbook titled "Deductive Logic," and they ended up talking, had a conversation on it. He ended up signing the book with the 6 Super Bowls that he won in addition to his name inside the cover of the book. Since then, I guess they've now he was dating someone at the time, Linda Holiday, who's now his ex, and apparently they kept in touch and they swapped contact information, and now she is dating him.
Now they're swapping a little more than contact information.
That is true. Here's my thought on this.
If you're her
and you're like, "Dad, I want to introduce you to my boyfriend," and she brings home Bill Belichick. I mean, I thought I was reading an SNL skit.
Her parents are probably
his age.
No. Her parents are probably my age.
Yeah, that's
I have a daughter older than her.
So love,
old
love,
enough to love be her is grandfather real. Is a real statement.
Love
here.
Is real. 72. Yeah,
I'm sure
to 24
for her it was
years
love
old. But
sight.
I would pay so much money to watch that first interact. Because there's no way she was like, "Mom, Dad, I'm dating Bill Belichick." She came in and is probably
Junior?
Introduced
his son,
Steve. So
here's
congrats.
The question though. But this moves forward. Does he have to adopt her before he can marry her, or what's the laws in Massachusetts on that? Does he have to adopt her first before marriage? Or
I don't know. I don't know if he spends his time in Florida now. He's not the Patriots coach. But to sum it up, congratulations, Coach. Yeah. You are living every man's dream listening right now.
Another championship.
Every single one. Another ring. Put it on. Give it to her, though. You don't need a ring. Put one on her.
Yeah. I'm sure it's...
congrats to Miss Hudson. Quite a steal.
As George would say, or he would sing, it's love without end, amen. So,
what's the old math question? If Bill's 72 and Miss Hudson's 24, how much money does Bill have?
Half as much as he used to.
Are you ready to give your family the best 4th of July experience yet? USA Fireworks wants to make that happen. Go to hitthatline.com/USAFireworks and enter for your chance to win a $1,000 fireworks show. It's $1,000 wholesale of fireworks worth more than $2,000 retail. Again, hitthatline.com/USAFireworks. The USA Fireworks banging giveaway, courtesy of USA Fireworks, ESPN Arkansas, and hitthatline.com.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
John Calipari talked a little bit yesterday on a couple national radio shows, had some the same stuff he's saying, but he also referenced his new recruiting strategy, which I kind of know about. 8 or 9 players, got 9 on the roster, but one coach that he specifically pulled it from that I haven't heard before.
You know who I'm doing this like? Back in the day, a guy named Coach Smith, Dean Smith, back in the day, recruited for 10, 11, and 12. Recruited specifically for that spot. Now, there may be injuries. The guy may be better than everybody thought. He may beat somebody out, but he's being recruited for 10, 11, and 12. I want 8 or 9 guys on scholarship, NIL, all that. And then I want 10, 11, 12. We got 9 on scholarship. We're adding 10, 11, 12. And they'll be good players, but they're not going to be. But it doesn't mean they can't beat somebody out.
I was curious if this was something that he had seen somewhere else or pulled somewhere. That's, guys, I don't know about you. That's the first time I've heard him talk about where the origin is that from.
The comparison's not readily apparent to me. I'll just put it that way. I mean, you're recruiting 10, 11, 12, but they're not going to play. It's different now because guys go to places to play.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to go out and get a guy, I don't suspect, for a 10, 11, 12 spot that's going to be anything other than a glorified walk-on, because that kid's going to be looking to play somewhere. I think at the time Coach Smith coached, it would seem to me anyway, that you had 10, 11, 12 guys that were more willing to assume those roles. I think the one thing that perhaps the comparison is, and I'm just kind of talking through it, that's the first time that I'd heard the cut. As he said, these guys are going to be on scholarship. They're not going to play a whole lot. They're going to assume the same role those guys did for Dean Smith. And those guys, I don't think, expected to play. And obviously these guys, he's declaring very early on that you're not going to play.
Yeah.
We're going to take care of you. You're going to be good players. You're going to be given a chance, but chances are you're not going to be out there. That's the first time I had heard that. So that's just kind of my initial reaction.
That was also in the era of a 3 to 4 year player, more likely four in Dean Smith's era. But that also meant players were leaving, 3 or 4 players were leaving, and if you were 10, 11, or 12, you had a chance to move up into the rotation your junior year or your senior year. No one stays 4 years anymore. So 10 or 11, 12 means a lot more difference in 2024 versus 1974 to me.
Well, the one thing that I'm going to be interested to see on this, and we just don't know because we've not seen this before, is do the 10, 11, 12 guys who fill out your roster, the walk-ons, basically, do they stay? Are they 3 or 4 year guys? Mm-hmm. I suspect most of them probably will be. And they may be the ones the fans fall in love with because they've been around the most. I'm just speculating because we don't know. I mean, it's going to be new for everybody.
Yeah, an adjustment for sure. Congratulations to Hagen Smith, who's won the College Baseball Foundation National Pitcher of the Year. I think it's the second. He's had a couple All-Americans accolades, but this is, I think, the second Pitcher of the Year award that he's won. Guys, they have not announced the Golden Spikes. It would be awesome to see Hagen win that. I don't think he's going to. But another award on his trophy shelf, and they'll probably keep on coming. I know there's been some comparisons made between him and Paul Skeens. You were talking about Paul's velocity, that I don't know if Hagen is going to necessarily adapt to the majors as quick as, or get to the majors as quick as Paul has, but yeah. I do wonder if there's that possibility that in year one he is able to make it on a roster. That would be something to keep an eye on, I think.
I would say we probably said a lot of the similar things about Kevin Copps a few years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And it didn't unfold for him. And Kevin may end up, being an everyday player, but it just shows you how difficult it is to make it. And really, Chuck, how great these guys are that play every day in the show. You got really great players that we watch come through the SEC and through Arkansas, and they ultimately don't get there. Even though they're great players, we watch them. Just shows you how good these guys really are at the big league level.
Well, it also shows you, too, that age has something to do with it. The thing that Hagen really has going for him is he's young. I mean, he's young compared to those in his class, too. Copps was 24, 25 by the time he went here. When you're 24 or 25, your window of opportunity is like next week. I mean, it really is, because they're going to go with somebody who's younger, and that's the thing that Smith has going for him. So much of it depends on where you go and whether or not they're in the race. Let's say he's I don't know where he's going to fall in the draft, but obviously if he, goes in the top five, he's going to go to a team that's probably not in the hunt. They might be, but if you go to the right team and they're in a hunt for a wild card spot and somebody gets hurt, you might find your way up there. But the thing you got to remember, too, is, and I'm not going to try to explain it because I don't fully understand it, but I know that when you get called up has a lot to do with, like, for example, when you're eligible for arbitration. That's part of the reason they didn't bring Skeens up until they brought him up. They got past a certain date, and then they brought him up. And so you get into the business of baseball, too, when you become a professional. And Skeens has kind of dealt with that early in his career.
And that
but
is,
they finally just had to bring him up. He was so good.
He's been I'm curious to see if he gets any all-star looks. I know a lot of Pirates fans are pushing that. That is,
but one thing, you let me point this out. If the Pirates had their druthers, he would still be in the minor leagues because that arbitration clock wouldn't start until they bring him up. It's only because he's so good and the fans have demanded it that he's been brought up. Big league clubs would like to keep these guys down as long as they can because that affects the calendar and when that person becomes eligible for arbitration.
Hi, that is your Hog Update this morning. It's brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
Sterling is in Center Ridge. He wanted to go back and talk Willie Mays on the McCarty Dino Hotline. Hello, Sterling.
Hey, guys. And to touch on what you're talking about, like you said, the fans demand it. They like to bring them up when they're in the race to get that clock started when it's going to totally, especially a small market team, when they're in the heat of a race, they can get, you know, the full benefit of their talent. You hate to bring him up, and he may be great, but you're out of the race. What good is that really doing you in the big scheme of things? You know, you just
running. And that's why I say the, I say the Pirates would love to have Skeen still down at AAA because they're not going to win the division. But it was just they just had to. He was so good.
Exactly. Another thing about that catch that you were talking about, Chuck, and y'all are exactly right. You know, we see that catch is hot nowadays. But what's missing when you see the highlight reel of that catch is that you're not reminded that it's 480-plus feet away from home plate when Willie catches the ball.
No question.
Willie catching the ball that, Willie's catching the ball that's out of the ballpark nowadays is what he's catching. So when we see other guys make the same type of catch, they're probably not getting to the, I mean, the chances are they're not getting to the ball unless they position themselves at the right
That's
spot.
That's a fair point. That's a very good point.
The other thing lost in that play is not only did he make the catch, then he pivoted, turned, and threw a perfect strike to keep the runner from scoring. That was amazing.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
You know, Jake's had quite an interesting journey to get to this point. Tomball High School in Texas. Actually played soccer, I think, at UCA for a couple years. Texas State in San Marcos, Fayetteville, Arkansas, and then with the Michigan Panthers. And now, Jake, you're a Detroit Lion. You didn't even have to take your Detroit Lion. You didn't even have to switch stadiums, man. Staying right there at Ford Field.
Yeah, I know. It's been pretty crazy. I'm super excited to be able to be a Detroit Lion, man. It's surreal. It's I mean, I'm just beyond excited. It's really cool to have been already played at that stadium and been able to see it, and now I get to see it. Just it's a different color now. But you know, I'm super excited. I'm super grateful, and I just can't wait to get started.
So, Jake, I think Arkansas fans, a lot of them know the name Zach Hocker, who's a really good kicker in Fayetteville, and he had kind of a soccer background to it in Russellville High School. He was a great player there. How would you say that's kind of helped you along your journey to now being an NFL kicker?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that translate. Obviously, you know, you're kicking a ball. The swing path is semi-similar, It is a little bit different, you know, foot angles, but you also learn a lot of that in soccer. Just kind of being able to manipulate your foot a little bit to help yourself hit the ball, you know, directionally. Big leg, I think, helps with soccer helps with. So I think there's a lot of things that translate, but there's a lot of things also you have to put a lot of work in and learn, because it's not the exact same swing. But I definitely think having a soccer background really helps and just kind of helps build that foundation.
Former Razorback and Detroit Lion Jake Bates with us here on the McLarty Daniel Highline. Jake, first of all, congratulations. But tell us how that call went. How were you informed that you were going to be a part of the Detroit Lions?
Well, after we lost the playoff game, there was a whole approval process that had to be done before we could start talking to teams. And once that was over with, and all that approval stuff was done, we set up some visits, and I went on a couple of visits, got home, and I was like, man, Detroit's where I want to be. I feel like that in my heart was home. That's where the Lord was calling me. And, it was just a good feeling to be able to have that that interest. You know, my interest to them was the same as their interest to me, and that was just a really good feeling. And you know, I'm just beyond blessed to be able to do it and be able to go up to Detroit here in a month or so, reporting for training camp. And man, I was beyond excited. And First people I called were my parents, and they, you know, were ecstatic. That's where, you know, they've been to the stadium a couple of times. They love it. It's been really good to us. And my whole family's excited. The whole village that it took to get to where I'm at is super excited. I have so many good people behind me, and I'm so excited. I'm really just truly so excited.
Yeah. Tell us about that call with your family. I can imagine as a parent, you know, there had to be probably some tears shed in that phone call.
Yeah, well, I wanted to wait till I could see them in person and tell them. But I was driving home, and I was on the phone with my dad, and he was like, "If you hear anything and anything happens, please just let us know." Because they were ready to hear what's going on and all that stuff, and rightfully so. And I was like, okay, well, I guess it happened. Like we're doing it, and they were over the moon. And man, I couldn't have asked for a better support system from them, and then my brothers, all my friends and extended family, and it's been unbelievable. And I've had so much support, so many messages from so many people from high school, you know, college, all the stops I made in college, and you know, everywhere in between.
You mentioned support. We're talking with Jake Bates, by the way, former Razorback and now Detroit Lions kicker. You're going to have some Razorback support. You got Dan Skipper and Frank Ragnow there with you, three Razorbacks on one NFL team. Have they gotten a chance to maybe talk with you just yet?
No, I haven't gotten to talk to them yet. I'm sure that'll come soon, but I'm excited to have that little sense of home up there in Detroit for sure.
Jake, give us a perspective what you're walking into with Dan Campbell. I got to be honest, I hate Texas A&M with a fiery passion, but he's like the lone guy that I actually kind of like. I know you probably haven't gotten a chance to talk with Coach yet, but from your sense of maybe talking with some future teammates or just anyone in the National Football League, what are you walking into with your head coach, Dan Campbell?
No, I mean, from what I've heard, it's kind of a what you see is what you get, and you know, he treats you like you want to be treated. He's gonna let the best player play. He wants to win. And I'm just so excited to play for a coach like that. Everyone up there in Detroit is just, you know, you're gonna want to run through a brick wall for this coach, and that's the kind of coach you want to play for. And I'm beyond excited to have a coach like that. And man, I just can't wait to get to work.
Man, Jake, walk us through your time in the USL and that journey, while it somewhat brief, got you to your end goal. But tell us the value of that in this process. Obviously, it got you the exposure and got you where you wanted to be. But can this really become, to a degree, a minor league, if you will, for the NFL?
I hope so. I really, really hope so. It gives so many people, you know, outside of me, it gives so many people opportunities to show what they didn't get to show in college, or maybe they got overlooked, or they were, you know, quote, undersized, or whatever it was. It just gives you another chance to play football, which is what we all want to do, and, you know, gives a chance to just show again that, you know, we can play too, and there's a lot of talent out there. We just give us a chance.
Yeah, because you've kind of been in that underdog role. You weren't the primary kicker. You've had to fight and overcome a lot through the UFL to get to the NFL. You know, what's been the hardest part of that journey?
Kind of just telling myself to keep going. It's tough to keep going when you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, which in a lot of days I felt like it wasn't there. And I felt like if I got my chance, you know, I was confident that I'd be able to take advantage of it, but it was, am I ever going to get my chance? And luckily we have a good Lord, and he was so good to me and teaching me in a time of patience, to be patient and to remain trusting in him and faithful to him. And he's going to open doors, and that's what he did for me. And and then obviously the chance in the UFL was just so much fun. But yeah, I mean, it's tough to keep going when you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but persistence is going to pay off no matter where it's at. And I think I'm so happy that I was able to do that.
Yeah, Jake, you had three kicks of like 60 plus yards this year. I'd say you've made the most of your opportunity and with the Michigan Panthers. I want to come back to Fayetteville here just for a sec. Take us back to that onside kick against Alabama, which Arkansas, third quarter, you guys kind of got things rolling. Just take us back to that moment and when, I guess, Pittman and Fountain called that play. What was going through your mind?
Yeah, we had it in the week of practice. And so we knew it had a chance to be on. And then, like you said, I think we came out of halftime and I think we scored, and it was like, it was a 2-score game, and they're like, hey, we're doing it. And I was like, well, here we go. You know, here goes nothing. But that was such a cool moment. I almost kind of just went black, and I don't remember too much of it other than everybody just celebrating. But obviously, you know, I had the two guys, Pooh Paul and Jordan Crook,
like
in front of me blocking, making sure I didn't get hit. But no, it was unbelievable. That stadium, that got so loud. That was, you know, I didn't have too many glorious moments just being the kickoff guy, but that was pretty cool.
Jake, last thing before we let you go, and we appreciate you joining us. $1.9 million deal, $150 guaranteed. $100,000 signing bonus. What are you spending that signing bonus on?
Not much. I don't spend too much money on much. So I'm sure that'll go away. And I mean, I'm not gonna be spending it on much. But I had to get a new phone, so maybe we could say that. My phone was dead, so I had to get a new phone. So we'll go with that.
All right. Well, that's a good investment. Again, Jake Bates, former Arkansas Razorback, and now a Detroit Lion, one of three former Razorbacks that are up there at Ford Field. Jake, appreciate you joining us. Excited to see what kind of impact you can have with Dan Campbell's squad this season.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Good stuff from Jake. And I don't know I know there's something going on with Jacksonville's kicker as well, so you might have two Razorbacks kicking for 32 NFL teams this season with Cam Little.
Jake and all of our guests join us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. I think the neatest part of that story, Chuck, is just, you know, he was the underdog at Arkansas, didn't get a lot of time, went to the UFL, just constantly, you know, fighting his way up, and now a shot at the highest level.
And you got to be happy for him. You got to pull for him. It's you know, it's a little different for a kicker as opposed to a position player. Because, hey, kicker, you miss a couple extra points, you're done tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wide receiver drops a couple of passes, probably not going to cut him Monday morning. So kickers, it's sudden death every day for those guys. And he's getting a chance, and I'm sure pulling for him.
Yeah. It's not as easy to be in that position. Yeah. I know that. I'm forgetting Chicago's old kicker, but he missed that one in playoffs, and there are Chicago fans that still hit him. They get remembered for the misses, not the makes. But Jake, again, to get where he is now, I know that it's a pretty cool backstory.
And if he sticks and stays in Detroit, and if you're just kind of don't have an NFL team, and I know there's people that, you know, the college football fans that don't have a team, hey, Detroit becomes a little easier to root for just because you got three hogs on there potentially.
Yeah, I think people have kept up with Ragnow and Skipper a good bit. And their head coach certainly has the type personality where he's going to draw some national media attention. And so the fact that, you know, you've got players on that team, I don't know enough about Detroit's situation to know what he's going to be competing against when he goes into camp. I'm sure, obviously, they've signed him to a contract with the idea that he may be their kicker, but I'm not sure about how all that's going to work. Maybe you guys know.
Yeah, they just waived, and I'm forgetting the kid's name, they just waived somebody, Chuck.
Right.
So, and I want to say that they signed Jake in somewhere else, but I'm not 100% on that. So I think he's got, I mean, you're spending $2 million on a kicker. I think there's a pretty good investment.
I think
there.
So, too. They obviously have signed him with the idea that he's going to be their kicker.
Yeah.
So, not any doubt about again, that.
Not the most notable Arkansas name because, like he kind of alluded to, he just was doing kickoffs because you had Cam Little, and Cam's getting a shot in Jacksonville, it sounds like. So it's kind of understandable why he wasn't necessarily playing, but
he was behind a good one,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it goes to, I mean, this was, he was leading the SEC in kickoffs. He was like fourth nationally. He's a weapon for Arkansas. Sam Pittman talked about that, just didn't initially handle the kickoff duties. So excited for Jake, and hopefully this season pans out for him.
You know, one of the things you were talking about there was whether or not it's a minor league, a feeder for the National Football League. Specialists always have a chance. You know, as long as there's a league for them to play in, specialists have a shot. I don't think, for example, a wide receiver is going to come out of nowhere from one of these minor leagues and suddenly he's going to become an NFL star. I don't think that's going to happen. And guys like Kurt Warner are literally once in a lifetime. We'll probably never see anything like that happen again in terms of a skill spot. But for a kicker, punter, long snapper, return guy who can also be a third down receiver, these leagues, those are the players that I think have an opportunity maybe to get into the National Football League as a result of just having a league to play in.
Yeah.
Hey, well, if you are an investor and you like to keep up with what other folks are doing, you want to listen to the Market Moment podcast this week, Matt and Lee are joined by Hamilton Rayner of J.P. Morgan. They're going to discuss various types of investing strategy. A lot of traditional stuff, a lot of new stuff, and just ideas. And I think if, again, you're an investor, you like keeping up, and this is probably a conversation you want to pay attention to, you can check out the latest episode of The Market Moment by heading to market-moment.com to find out more. Mach 1 Financial Group, LLC, is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They're located in Rogers. And for full disclosures, you can visit Mach1Financial.com/disclosures.
Robert, with the funny Texas, we close this out. There's a sentence you don't hear every day. Or, man, I really want to go to Detroit. I want to stay in Detroit. But I think it being where he was playing, again, Michigan Panthers played at Ford Field in the UFL, so he didn't even have to transition.
On his path, any of the 32 would have been fine.
Yeah.
You're a kicker, though, an indoor stadium.
That's a good point.
Great
point, Chuck.
That's
a great point. It's like it goes back to the question that lady asked about, hey, what's Detroit conditions? Well, we played Bulls.
That's
like,
right. Perfect for a kicker.
Chuck, you remember the old Texas stadium? They'd open the doors on one end depending on which way they're – if they needed,
really?
They'd create that wind tunnel. Need a little help with a kick, they'd open the doors in the tunnel at the back of and get that wind moving through there. So that was the I don't know the original dome because the Astrodome was, but they would accuse the Cowboys of cheating a little bit there. They'd open the doors on the other end. They needed to help blow the wind into the opposing
kicker. That's just using your advantage, using your facilities to your advantage. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to share this this quick quote. Have you guys ever heard of the term pancake rears? Any?
Nope.
Bueller?
What
Bueller?
Context?
Okay. Well, Buck Showalter, who coached a bunch of MLB franchises over the years, New York, Diamondbacks, Rangers, Royals, Mets. I guess he's doing stuff with the MLB network now. He was talking about scouting, what he would do in the midst of looking for who he'd potentially draft and whatnot. And he used this phrase. Just take a listen to this because it might fall into the category of too stupid on a too stupid Thursday.
I watch these kids. I'm looking at other things than a lot of people look at. I'm looking at, you know, how high is their butt? Yeah. How are they got a full beard? You don't see a bunch of pancake rear guys playing. You don't. There's some exceptions to everything. I'm just telling you.
What? Listen, he's been in the major leagues for quite some time. He's got more baseball knowledge in one finger than I do in my entire body. But I've never heard of the judging someone based off their size of their buttocks.
But where does a hitter get power from the legs and the upper thigh and from that core? So I could see why somebody would want to look at that, because that's where you're going to get your strength and your speed. A pitcher is going to get his power from his legs. So yeah,
You'd be amazed. Football, basketball, baseball. I talk to these guys. You'd be amazed at what they look at. What
they pay attention to.
It's all the things that you would never in a million years think they look. Which way their toes turn. I mean, which way their knees turn when they walk. I mean, they look at things that the average fan would never even notice. I'll say this about Buck Showalter. He's made a career out of evaluating talent. He's as good an everyday manager as there is in the game. And I think he's probably right. I mean, it's worked for him. Whatever his system is, it's worked for him.
Part of the what he also mentioned is he didn't initially like drafting guys with full beards because he felt like that's as mature as they were going to get physically. And I didn't think about it that context. Like you said, Chuck, I mean, you get a benefit of hearing some of these coaches over the course of your time in broadcasting that you would be amazed. I just, some of these things, and that's why it's always fun to talk to an all ball coach of football, basketball, and baseball, and just kind of how they evaluate stuff, because you pick up things that you never would think mm-hmm. of before. And apparently pancakers is something that Coach Showalter used to look at back in the day, and he would pass on a player if they had a flat. But you made a good point. It is, a lot of your hitting does come from the lower body, so that makes sense.
Generally, we just call it all gut, no butt.
You know? All gut, no butt.
So we may have a little of that going on around here.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.